I'm Andy Bates, part of the team here at KFUO. While you hear me on the air and in podcasts, I'm also part of the team that works behind the scenes to bring you the programs like this that you value. What you hear on the air and in podcasts is just the tip of the iceberg. Listeners like you generously support everything that makes radio and podcasts happen. Administration, cutting-edge technology, software, hosts, producers, and more. You make this happen. Can we count on you to continue this support? KFUO Share-a-thon, now through April 5th, is a great time to show your support and make a gift or make a plan to give for a whole year. Your generosity is important and appreciated, not just by the KFUO team, but by listeners who get to hear and enjoy Christ-centered programs every day. Will you make a gift today? KFUO.org/give. KFUO.org/give. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates. We get to share about the LCMS Youth Gathering and hear some stories today about youth ministry and paths to serving in ministry, how the Youth Gathering encourages young people to consider how they might serve in the church in the future as well. All part of our conversation in the Set Apart to Serve series in just a moment. Thanks to Concordia University, Wisconsin for supporting The Coffee Hour. Find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin at cuw.edu. Live uncommon. Joining me today, the Reverend Mark Kiesling, Director of LCMS Youth Ministry and one of the hosts of End Goals Podcast. Mark, welcome to the Coffee Hour.
Thanks for having me. Great to be here.
Always nice to chat with you once in a while. I try to get in every month or two,
sure.
Try to get in a chat. And today we get to have a Set Apart to Serve story. And I think we've chatted for Set Apart to Serve before,
yes.
But it's been a while.
Right.
So remind us about your story. How the Lord brought you into this vocation,
right?
Into the office of holy ministry, serving as a pastor and in such a unique setting here,
yes.
At the LCMS International Center in Youth Ministry as well. Tell us about your vocational journey and how the Lord brought you into this.
Yeah, absolutely. So grew up very much in the church, very much involved. Dad is a pastor. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a lot of hours were spent at Grace Lutheran Church in Hamilton, Montana, sometimes very actively in church things, but also it kind of became a second home many ways with the number of hours that my parents were investing there, but it was a real blessing to be a part of the church family growing up. I mean, really that our church, it was kind of a unique situation. I was there for basically all my life growing up. So really the church family became my family in many ways. And so through that, would definitely have a lot of conversations about my dad, with my dad about the pastoral ministry, that he, I think, always had that vision and knowledge, would plant the seeds in many ways. I always had my objections and my reasons to say no growing up, that I was, you know, think I was going to go my own way and those types of things, but always very much enjoyed serving around the congregation, and then went to college, studied business. Really, I thought I was going to be the supportive lay person that helps the mission of the church in other ways. And then it was really, for me, it was moving far away from kind of no one that I really knew. And so no one knew that I was a pastor's kid. No one knew my background. I was very involved in my church where I was as a young adult and had more and more people saying, have you ever thought about going into the ministry? I was like, well, yes, but I've always had a reason to say no. So then it was, okay, Lord, I better really start praying about this. And so it was kind of one of these things, went to a visitation from one of our members at Concordia St. Louis in terms of recruitment at a local congregation, went to a meeting there, just continued to pray about it. My pastor prayed with me about it a lot and felt the call to consider the seminary, and then went into there as a, not quite a second career. I wasn't out that long, so it wasn't officially that way, but certainly someone who had been working in some other areas around the business and banking, and then entered, in 2001 in the seminary. And then kind of had a unique situation there too, that as I was at the some openings had happened in LCMS Youth Ministry, especially around planning the LCMS Youth Gathering, which I'd done as a volunteer. And so worked full-time while I went to the SEM full-time, a little bit of a lighter schedule, but still full-time student. And then graduated and kind of unique a situation, Wells came straight to the International Center in my first call, and then I've been here since. So yeah, it's been a fun ride, blessed ride, really thankful for the way the church has invested in me and so many people who have invested in me and supported me along the way for sure.
You mentioned that you had been serving as a volunteer in youth ministry,
yes.
Prior to going to seminary. Tell us about some of the history of youth ministry and how you got involved in LCMS youth ministry.
Right. So was very blessed to have a highly engaged youth ministry program growing up in my congregation in Montana. And so had that way in which we were connecting certainly in our district level in Montana, as well as the synodical level around like trainings and resources and things were there. So knew our church body cared about young people, went to the 92 youth gathering as a youth. And so like that was an eye-opening experience for me, you know, just seeing the size of the church, just seeing that the church would do an event that would show its care for me was pretty cool. And that wasn't, it wasn't just my home church who did all the fundraising, things like that to make it possible. But then that we had a church body that lifted up young people in that way and brought us together. It was pretty neat. So had those connections that way. And then because of, again, my youth worker at the time, he became a planner for the youth gathering and invited me along the way to be a different volunteer roles along, I guess, two gatherings that I got to be a volunteer at. And finally, in 01 was when I got a little bit more engagement, maybe with the office here in St. Louis, to be considered for the actual staff position that was here.
So you started going to gatherings in 92?
Yes.
But gatherings go back earlier than that, right?
They do. Yeah. So LCMS youth gatherings go back to 1980. First one was in Fort Collins, Colorado, on the campus of Colorado State. There were some pan-Lutheran ones in the 70s. I think there was two, maybe 72 and 76. I think one was in Houston and one was in New Orleans. But then the LCMS continued to do them. Started out as, you know, I think a couple thousand in Fort Collins, you know, grew and waxed and waned over the years, different ways that took place throughout multiple cities over the years. New Orleans has kind of been our, probably the one where it's been the most over the years, but it's continued on a 3-year process. Every 3 years we plan that, put, you know, invite a lot of people into the planning process, from everything from thematics and theological reflection to then kind of the nuts and bolts logistics of it too, to make an event like that run. And so it's been really neat to see the church body come together, plan that event, support our young people through it, and see kind of the history of it too, of many of the stories God has used an event like that, and certainly connected back to the local congregation who are investing in those young people to bring them to such an event. Those relationships that get built, those experiences that happen for young people as they grow, as young Christians, as they get to go into maybe a new environment. And I think, again, I reflect on my experience in 92 to understand that, wow, the LCMS is really a blessing, and to be able to see that I've got all these young people across the country and the other Lutherans across the world that we can speak that language of faith, confess our faith in Christ, be able to be activated into service too, which is such a big part of the youth gathering as well in the host community that's there.
We have a youth gathering coming up this summer.
Yes.
I won't say how many days away it is.
thank you.
But it's, if you work here in the, if you're here at all in the building, you know that it's coming up soon. You can feel the tension.
Yes.
But it's excitement too, because we look forward to gathering together with so many youth. And I want to talk more about the youth gathering in a little bit, and talk more about the history and how it's grown, and mm-hmm. all those beautiful things about the youth gathering. I want to go back to youth ministry. What mm-hmm. is LCMS youth ministry? You've been on the team here in that department for quite some time. What is LCMS youth ministry?
Yeah, more than the youth gathering, for sure. And so we do our best to serve through the context of districts and congregations to support young people in their life in Christ, their life in the church. Mm-hmm. Primarily, we do that in four areas that we do what we call leads. And so that's certainly supporting our adult leaders. They're just vital, whether that's a pastor, a roster church worker, or a lay person who is investing time with young people, that we support them through resourcing, networking, and training. But then we also support young leaders too. We just wrapped up our youth lead training that we did here in St. Louis in March, and there's resources that go along with that for young people that, again, maybe looking at church worker careers or not. And just to say, like, how do I lead as a Christian in this world? That we do that. We do a lot of resourcing, specifically the Youth eSource. That's our website for our resources, but as well as whether it's the gathering or other things we do, always looking for a way resources can be used back home in the local congregation and support the ministry that happens there. We network, again, oftentimes with our adult leaders, but then certainly the gathering's a big time too, where when you bring youth together to network and get to know one another, which is a great blessing too. And then we also work under the banner of serving. And so we have LCMS servant events. Those happen mostly in the summer, standalone events at like camps and RSOs within the LCMS. But then also it's a big component of everything that we do, whether that's youth leader, the youth gathering as well, and that young people able to put their faith into action by serving our neighbor. And that's a great blessing as well. So we do a lot of those things that we get and try to help congregations connect with their young people, support them in their life of faith. And then we always kind of say too, for young people, help ask those questions about what's next. They're going to be coming up in a major transition in their life post high school. And whether they're heading off to college or career or military service, we just want to start planting those seeds a little bit. Like, how are you making sure you're connecting with Christian community when you have this maybe major transition that might happen, where you may be going away from that foundation of your home congregation? Maybe not, but that relationship now maybe changes. You're no longer in the high school youth ministry. How do we continue to mold that relationship, find them places where we can plug them in, continue to invite them back in as they go through that major life change? And so that's always kind of a part of what we're always doing, is help them plan with the thing that's most important, is to keep that relationship with Jesus and with the church. So they have that place where they can come, be reminded of who they are in their baptism, hear those words of forgiveness of our sins, and be reminded of the promises of Jesus in all aspects of life and through all those phases of life.
And I might say that a great resource for adults who care for young people in their congregation is End Goals Youth Ministry Podcast.
Yeah. That's one of those resources.
It's a regular resource you can find on the KFUO website or the KFUO app, or anywhere you find podcasts, you can look for the End Goals Youth Ministry Podcast. It's a great resource for learning just sometimes little bits of knowledge and from other people's experience, other times tons of research that you all have been doing or gathering, gleaning from others. Really valuable insights for adults who care about youth and young people in their congregation.
Well, thank you. And know, so listeners know that our big goal on that is we invite people who are a lot smarter than me and Juliana to that process. So it's not just listen to me and Juliana, but we bring in people who are doing it day in, day out, who have a wealth of experience and insight about helping young people and families stay connected to the church. Where do they go for truth in today's world where there's just a lot of voices and things coming at them, and keep them, as we pray, solid in the foundation that is Christ.
Amen. Yeah, great resource. Again, you can find it on kfuo.org or anywhere you get podcasts, the KFUO app as well. So that's just one of the many resources that come out of LCMS Youth Ministry that are produced by LCMS Youth Ministry. And you mentioned eSource as well. Mm-hmm. That's a wonderful resource. The website for that?
YouthEsource.com. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I've been doing that. Can't believe it's almost like 20 years now we've been doing that. So that's been a great blessing for us to, and there too, like we're lifting up LCMS Youth Ministry practitioners that have a wealth of experience and resources and things that they've been able to try out in their youth ministry that's been effective. And so we're thankful for the Bible studies, theological talk sheets, just the support that they provide other youth workers too, so they know they're not alone in their work. That's been a real blessing.
And the kinds of people that you talk with come from a variety of backgrounds. Some are pastors, some are DCEs, some are lay people, others, just all people who care about young people in their congregation.
Right. And it's so much where we try to focus on too, is that community of believers around young people is so important. We steal this from Fuller Youth Institute, that they did some of their own research too around their sticky faith, and that it was really important for a young person to be able to name five adults who care for them. And those five adults besides their parents, I should say, who care for them. And so those could be lay people in the church, it can be their pastor or DCE, a Christian teacher that maybe doesn't even attend their church, but yet can connect with them on a faith level, just to be able to have those people who remind them who they are and that they're loved by Christ. And so we really try to bring that up with congregations, that like if you could ask each one of your young people, who are your five names that you know are checking in on you and care for you, it's just a great connection to the church for a lifetime.
That sounds like a fun survey.
Yeah, it is. It is. We heard churches who took that, not necessarily from us, but if they read the Fuller stuff or they hear us say it, is that that's actually a regular question that they will use to check in with their young people. Can you name me five? And then the church knows if you can't, then we need to find something maybe programmatically or connection-wise to introduce you to and intergenerational relationships with other adults. Or it might be, hey, young person, we're going to help cultivate in you of how do you ask for a mentor? How do you find that person? Because we believe it's important. It's important you have those voices of wisdom in your life besides maybe your parents, or sometimes too, maybe if they're in a broken home situation where they don't have that at home, to be able to have that. So it's been a good check-in actually to do a little bit of a survey with young people and ask that question.
And there will be more surveys because we have the opportunity to engage with about 20,000 people coming up this summer. I know there's typically a survey at the LCMS Youth Gathering asking lots of questions.
Yeah, we do our youth poll. Looking forward to that again as well to get some feedback from our young people. Absolutely.
We're going to learn more about the LCMS Youth Gathering and how that may influence and shape a youth perspective on serving in the church in the future. Talking with the Reverend Mark Kiesling, Director of LCMS Youth Ministry, here on the Coffee Hour. We'll be back in just a moment. I'm Andy Bates.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason, to use your God-given gifts to help others, to live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world, to live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50-plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.
Welcome back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates. Today we are continuing our Set Apart to Serve conversation, talking with the Reverend Mark Kiesling, Director of LCMS Youth Ministry and host of End Goals Podcast, a youth ministry podcast from the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And right around the corner is the LCMS Youth Gathering taking place this July in New Orleans, going back to a top host city for us. Yes. By all means, they always are wonderful hosts and always so welcoming to us when we've been there. What number is this for us in terms of visits to?
Is this our sixth, I think, fifth or sixth? Yeah, I think
fifth or sixth in New Orleans.
Yeah. It was fun to listen to. They just recently hosted the Super Bowl, and we'd hear interactions about, you know, people saying, oh, that's just a great host for the Super Bowl. I'm like, yeah, we would agree. It's been a great host for LCMS Youth Gatherings, too. Just great downtown. Everything's accessible. And so it's a wonderful, great facilities, obviously. And so it's a wonderful host for us.
I remember, yeah, seeing, you know, watching some of the Super Bowl and seeing the stadium. I'll be there in July.
Yeah. It's exciting. It's great. And that, you know, great thing going after a Super Bowl is like everything's been redone. You know, every hotel we go to, and be like, if they said, well, we're doing some renovation, like, guess what? It's going to be done in 2025, I bet, for the Super Bowl, but we'll say it's for us, you know, so that we're getting that advantage to that.
So we talked a little bit earlier about the history of the LCMS Youth Gathering. It goes way back to, I think you said the 80s?
1980, right? Yes.
1980. Mm-hmm. It's been in a variety of places. Yeah. New Orleans certainly is one of the top cities, but other cities, including some new locations over the last few years, but it's been a little bit more than that, because it's every 3 years.
Right.
So since the 1980s, how has the LCMS Youth Gathering grown or changed?
Yeah, I think so. It went through a substantial time of growth through the 80s and 90s into the early 2000s in terms of the number of people who attended, mm-hmm. to the point where, you know, we even had to put in a youth to adult ratio because we were telling people no. And we especially didn't want to be telling youth no. So we kind of cut back on the number of adults who were attending up until, I guess we started doing that after the 95 event, I think. And so it's smaller in the sense of the number of total number of people that have come maybe from its peak, but still a very strong base. Like we're expecting with all the volunteers and everything to have about 20,000 there this summer, which is great. Exciting to see again, churches from across the country. I think we got over 1,200 registered, which is wonderful to see, you know, so many of our states and regions that will be available. And so it's great for the youth to understand, like you can go anywhere in the United States and find an LCMS church to call home, whatever transition might be coming up for you, whether your family moves even before the end of high school, but as you head off to college and things, that there's a home for you across the country, which is great. I think the one interesting thing that, you know, when we hear stories from the past is we've tried to do our due diligence using, a lot of it's using a technology, certainly. First started with a website, then moved on to apps and social media and things like that, that to really provide engaging programming that we understand the investment congregations are making to send young people, not just financially either, the time that's put in, that I think sometimes it was a lot to try to process without having pre-event information. Let's just say that. Like we love hearing stories of people saying like, can you imagine getting, we give them a guidebook of 100 some plus pages when they show up.
Yeah.
And back in the day, you would get that literally like the day you showed up and now pick your favorite session. And so I think some people just would get overwhelmed and be like, nope, not doing it. Where now with, thanks again, web technology, and then now we have an app that, you know, you can do that a lot on the front end and be able to help young people say like, hey, what's on your heart and mind about your walk with Christ? Or what are some questions maybe you have about the faith? You know, maybe what are some vocations you're thinking of in the future, that there's some speakers that can speak to that. And so I think it's allowed young people to stay highly engaged. So even like when we go into facilities, we have to tell our convention center is to say like, no, understand, like our entire audience will stay here for 8 hours. And it means we need to feed all these people twice, perhaps, you know, so it changes. Like it's a unique event that way that convention centers can't just understand until they go through it, like how engaged our youth are in the program. Because of, again, I think they get connected to the sessions that are there, what we have on our exhibitor floor, you'll be a part of that. Mm-hmm. And as they're learning about the church and the many ways, again, that they can serve back home too. We do on-site servant events. We do a lot of hands-on learning of just things that they can take back to them practically, or they can go deeper in their faith and understand it and be able to both learn, but then also confess it too. And so that just keeps them really strongly engaged. I think, again, that was always a part of the youth gathering. I just think we can communicate about it better. And so both the adult leaders and the youth are better prepped to make the most of the 5 days, mm-hmm. Which is really exciting to see. So I think that's one thing that's been a positive change that we've been able to do. I think too, just because of social media and the interaction we have with adult leaders, man, it really helps us plan so much better. I mean, just that we just have so, when you only plan an event once every 3 years, that's a long gap in between getting information to make changes or to do things better, to enhance things. And so thanks to social media, we do Zoom meetings, like kind of listening sessions and stuff like that. Being able to do that, that helps us to plan better, whether that's around topics that we're going to have, or whether that's, you know, we're doing a whole different thing. We call it the comprehensive food plan, which is we're much more proactive in providing food just to make it a better experience. Because, you know, it would break my heart to hear, oh, we would have gone to more sessions, but we were sitting in line for food all day. Well, that's not why you come to a youth gathering to go sit in food line, but you also need to eat. Like we get that too. So we're like, well, let's take care of those first article practical things and let's make sure it's easier to get food. So we've developed a whole plan to where like you can pre-order We set up space for that. And so it's just way like that way you can focus on the Word of God, those relationships that are being built, be able to hear these great speakers and be able to develop that and not make food the number one issue of your day, but rather the issue is let's get young people connected to the program they want to. So there's just things like that, that we try, we take those logistical things very important so that again, they're getting the really guess best fruit out of their investment to be in an event when it's only those 5 days. But as we say, we'll talk about this more here, talking about church work careers. We always say planning the gathering is more than the 5 days. And so that might be, yes, the culmination of all the planning that goes into it, but there's all that prep work that goes in. That is a wonderful thing, how the Holy Spirit works through that. And certainly we try to resource after too, so that when they go back home, there are resources, there are connections for them. That again, it's not just about those 5 days. That might be kind of the rallying point around it, but that's just one aspect of their life in the church and their life with friends and also those adult leaders that are with them.
How would you say that there are so many things that happen in a youth gathering and so many people there? How would you say the youth gathering feeds and nourishes the faith of youth and others who are attending the gathering as well?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, that's where one thing I'll go back and say, you know, when we go through our planning process, one of our kind of really things that we always lift up is the gathering is more than the 5 days. And a big new part of that is we're always pointing back to their home congregation and the ministry that happens there, the community that they're a part of there, week in, day out, word and sacrament ministry that takes place there. Their time of service, their relationships that get built. So one, we have plenty of pre-gathering resources that happen. So, you know, churches right now that are preparing to go, you know, they're doing Bible studies that we provide and they can kind of do real robust ones, a lot of them, or some churches it's like, it's better for us that we do a more focused, shorter number of meetings to get ready. And we try to break it up that way. Julianne and her team do that so that it works well in their context for being around God's word together and building those relationships. So that's one way that, again, they get strongly connected to their home congregation as a high school student going through their gathering process. And we recognize, you know, the gathering can be this great way to get young people and families engaged or re-engaged in the church post-confirmation. And so we want to make the most of that time that they're building those relationships and getting connected to the church that way. So there's that aspect that happens. There's those relationship time in God's word as his people and their time of worship together, as well as they're prepping for the event. Then at the event itself, I mean, you know, everything we do, we're pointing back to the thematics that we present, whatever the, you know, we're looking at Hebrews 12 and Hebrews 11 too, this time around, again, those heroes of faith and certainly the author and creator of our faith in Jesus. And so looking at the endurance aspect, Christ endured for us, but through the work of the Holy Spirit, we endure in our faith. And then a lot of obviously, what do we do now? What do we do until either Christ calls us home or Christ returns? And that there's those times of vocational service that we get to do. And he's given us that opportunity to be in that, in the world, sharing our faith, having God work through us in those ways. So talking about those angles of how do we return to God's word, hear his word, rest in his promises, see that community that's around us, and understand our purpose then for our life on this earth. And so then fed through God's word through that way. And then also, again, we hope making those connections with their adults from home, but then also be able to get to the event and see, wow, I got Lutheran young people from across the country that I can lean on and support and be able to see them on Concordia campuses or in other congregations down the line. To be able to say like they can really, you know, physically see there is a place for me no matter where I go in my country and in my world, that there is a congregation that I can call home. And so that really feeds them and gives them that hope and encouragement as they move forward in their life as well. And then, and we love too, when they get to see putting their faith into action and service, they get the response from the community, from people who work in convention centers about just the impact that they make on those folks too, which is just awesome. And we just hear that time and time again about the impact our young people make on the lives of people within the city that we are having the event.
All these things that happen at the gathering, I mean, there's Bible study, opportunities to serve, sessions to learn in, and certainly divine service where we gather together to receive the gifts of God in word and sacrament, the mass events that are encouraging, all these things that make up the youth gathering, and I'm sure there are many more aspects to it as well, the whole floor where all the exhibitors are. How do these contribute to a youth perception of church work and maybe considering and pursuing church work opportunities?
Absolutely. We have countless, I mean, literally countless stories of church workers who say it was the youth gathering that where I either really started thinking about church work or where I really said, okay, this is something I want to do. And sometimes it's because they grow in a deeper relationship with their church worker at their home congregation that they get to understand like, oh, that's what a DCE does. Oh, that's what a pastor does. Oh, okay. I got to see them in a different light throughout these 5 days or the preparation for it. And so they get excited by seeing that. We've always been about, you know, doing panels, talk conversations around a session. and say, come hear what a deaconess does or a DCE does or a pastor does. And, you know, there's so many cases, like there might be people in some context that don't know what a DCE is or what a roster teacher is, or they're not going to a Lutheran school, but they would love to be able to teach and talk about Jesus. And so they get to meet a teacher, or our session speakers are almost all LCMS roster church workers or LCMS lay people. And so then they get to see how their vocational walk makes an impact, and they can see, like, that could be me too. I can do this. So it gives them that encouragement. As well as we have great sponsors with and partners with our Concordia University system and Concordia seminaries. So they're present, exhibiting, leading sessions, talking about church work, careers, recruiting. And so they get that opportunity again to engage actually with leaders in our departments that train our church workers. And then I think the other part is too, is just to be able to see in one spot all these church workers who come together and the love that they have for the church and for God's people, and to be able to just mold them and to see again what that beautiful opportunity is as a church worker to share God's word and encourage the saints. I mean, they get to see that happen in an aspect like a youth gathering, to be able to say, yep, I can do this. And the Holy Spirit works in their life to really start asking those questions, praying about it. And then also too, become a deeper conversation with either their own church worker, or they get to engage with somebody who they're able to have an ongoing relationship with and connection with around church work, which is awesome to hear those stories. Things that I feel like I get surprised every gathering about, the one more and more that come out, that the gathering was able to be this really initiating thing for them to consider church work.
I know that there will be an opportunity kind of in the center of the hall.
Yes.
For youth to ask, to meet church workers. Yes. And ask questions. Well, I'll be right next to it. Who knows? I may even be in the chair at some point. But the LCMS booth right in the kind of the center of the hall, they'll have an opportunity. And then from there, you can directly see where the Concordia yes. Universities are and go straight from that booth over to the Concordia Universities to learn more about the church work programs.
Absolutely.
As well. So if you are a youth, or you know is going to the gathering and they're thinking about church yeah. work, or maybe they're not thinking about it, but you're thinking of yeah. it for them, now's the time to plant the seed.
Absolutely.
In their mind. That's an opportunity to ask questions.
Yep. And I think we'll have at least one session, if not two, that will probably be like some sort of panel with various church workers, and maybe just a little bit too about how do you get started, that mm-hmm. process too. So we're going to have that. And I think, I believe too, one for adults about just how do you talk about church work careers back home too? Like all of a sudden now you got a young person who's interested, maybe come to an event like a youth gathering, and how do you continue that conversation? Where do you point them when you head back to the home congregation? So want to have those resources available for our young people who attend.
Yes, my youth is interested in, she's interested in being a deaconess. I have no idea what a deaconess
right.
is. Here's the resource
right.
to help you with that.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Great. Mark, you have provided some great insights for us. Looking forward to the youth gathering. What a great opportunity for youth and other young persons to consider opportunities to serve in their church, whether it's in full-time church work or just a life of service as a lay person as well. Thanks so much for spending the time with us on the Coffee Hour today.
Great. Thanks for having me.
You can learn more about Set Apart to Serve by visiting lcms.org/SAS. You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.